Welcome to the Sportscast, February 28th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Twitch.tv, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Facebook. And of course, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. And also, you can get our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. NFL season is over. Of course, you got the combine coming up this week. But we got another league beginning very soon in April, the USFL. And we got a new writer for the Sportscast, Mr. Stevenson himself. He has written an article on the USFL draft and also the latest on the combine. Bart Stevenson, welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, Santiago. Thanks, man. Glad to be on.
So, Bart, before we head into the USFL, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a sports fanatic since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and I'm from Alabama, so you'll have to excuse my southern lingo and accent at times. It's a bit harder to understand. But I started playing football when I was 5 years old. I had it drilled into my head, and coach threw me to ate, sleep, breathe, and dreamed it. Unfortunately, some injuries kind of cut my opportunity short, but I still took up with coaching and eventually figured out I was probably better talking and writing about it than I was coaching or playing it. Drag racing, NASCAR, motorsports, I grew up, you know, just like I say, as a sports fanatic, but football has always been where my heart's at. I was a smaller school guy. I was offered a full-ride scholarship at UNA when I was a sophomore in high school. Unfortunately, like I said, some injuries cut that short, so I wasn't able to play. But I guess that smaller school mentality has stuck with me, so I have an adoration for guys that come from smaller, lesser-known programs, Division II, Division III, even FCS programs that you may not hear of, but they're still equally as talented and probably have more love for the game than the guys you see playing Division I and pro football now. So that's kind of where my heart lies, and I'm really looking forward to pushing out some content for you guys and hopefully getting some of these cats recognition, and help them land on the roster.
Absolutely. We are very grateful that you are writing for the Sportscast. Now, let's talk about your first article. It's called Breakdown, Who Came Out a Winner in the Inaugural 2022 USFL Draft. Tell us a brief summary of what you wrote here.
Well, that's basically what it is. I originally started out wanting to do a more in-depth breakdown of the draft. As I got into it, though, and I started noticing some other writers for these other sites putting out content, I didn't want to seem like I was curtailing them or sort of, you know, playing second fiddle. So mine ended up going from a breakdown more to an overall summation of what I think the teams are going to look like and how they're going to perform through the years. As we get closer to the start of the season, after the supplemental draft on March 10th and after the combine that the USFL has announced today that they'll be holding on March 19th and 20th, which is actually an open tryout for players who weren't in the draft pool on the 22nd, 23rd, or this upcoming supplemental draft. I'll be providing an updated article of the rosters, and then I'll actually go into a more detailed breakdown of the position groups and the coaching staffs, things along those lines. So people that maybe aren't familiar with some of these guys will know why they should watch, why they should tune in, and, you know, spend the money to go to the games. I'm local to Birmingham, Alabama, so you know, anything I can do to help increase the popularity of not only a spring league, but to help, you know, a local city to me increase their revenue and build their name, that's, you know, something I really look forward to.
Yes, and as he mentioned, Bart mentioned the USFL, for their first season, they have 8 teams. All the games will be played in Birmingham, Alabama. And then the playoffs will be played in Canton, Ohio. So it'll be different until next season because they're figuring out stadium renovations and things like that. So things will be different, but it'll be all in one place. The number one draft pick for the inaugural draft was Shea Patterson. He was the first pick to the Michigan team. Tell us a little bit. What do you think are his expectations for the USFL?
Surprisingly, Shea Patterson is. I'm not taking away from his talent or anything, but of the 8 quarterbacks drafted in the first round, he's probably closer to 6 or 7. As far as his ability to perform inside of a pro-style offense. Again, I'm not trying to take away from his talents. The kid was excellent at his time, you know, in his time at Ole Miss before the Hugh Freeze debacle, and he transferred to Michigan to go play for Jim Harbaugh. But that was sort of a surprising selection to me outside of the fact that it was a name pick that Michigan used to get some attention to their team to establish some sort of local connection, being that they will be playing here in Birmingham instead of playing in Michigan. So that was a bit surprising as far as the available quarterbacks that we knew of. However, you know, it was more, I believe, a PR selection than anything. And again, I don't want to knock Shea Patterson's talent. He's a far better quarterback than I could ever dream of being. But I believe they probably would have been better off going a different route with the first overall pick.
Yeah, totally understandable. What other players caught your eye that could potentially, if they do well, may go to the NFL in the future?
A couple guys, really. One of them that stands out to me is Mike Weber. He's a running back out of Ohio State. Injuries kind of derailed his NFL career early on. He was taken by the Dallas Cowboys coming out of OSU. Unfortunately, he had some knee injuries that sort of knocked him out. Now, he's, in my opinion, he's the best running back that was available in the league. Some other guys seem to think a little different, but from what I've seen of Mike Weber, his ability to pass block, catch out of the backfield, run routes, pound the ball inside, he's a guy that, if he can stay healthy, look for Mike Weber to be on an NFL roster this fall. Another guy, a wide receiver that surprisingly isn't in the NFL anymore, is Eli Rogers. That may be a familiar name to some people. He was a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a couple of years when Todd Haley was the offensive coordinator up there. I'm not sure what happened that has pushed him out to spring league football, but glad to get to see him perform in the league. He's another guy that I believe he needs an opportunity to show that he can still get out there and bang with the best of them, and I'd look to see him back on the roster real soon. He'll be playing for the Bandits this year.
That sounds incredible. USFL, where are they at compared to the Alliance, which was a league about 2 years ago that folded right before the playoffs? Do you think this league will be more well-planted and potentially will have a champion?
Well, I would hope so. We've got to see the spring league actually finish finish out their year, the past 2 years, and crown champions. And that's sort of what the USFL is. It's just the spring league under a new name. It's owned by Fox Sports. So as you and I had spoke about last week, USFL, it has the advantage of being owned by Fox, and the media deals isn't something that they have to scrounge and fight for and worry with. So they have that on their side. Now, whether or not the ratings are there, whether or not the attendance is there, will be a huge determining factor in how this league makes it from year one to year two. I hope that there's plenty of people who turn out for this. You know, if you're within driving distance of Birmingham, Alabama, and you love football, there's no reason you shouldn't be at least one or two games this year. Ticket prices will be very reasonable, I'm sure. They'll be playing at Legion Field and at Protective Stadium. And if you haven't gotten to see Protective Stadium, it is it's a very nice stadium that's been built here in Birmingham, Alabama. As far as AAF or even the XFL versus what the USFL is going to provide, I think a lot of that's still to be seen. I believe we will get to see a champion crowned with the USFL, whereas we didn't get that with the AAF, unfortunately. That was a league that I was highly invested in, and I actually started my writing career as a beat writer for the Birmingham Iron here. The XFL, you know, it was well on its way to doing quite well. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic hit and cut that season short. So a lot of the guys that are playing in the USFL are guys that were playing for the AAF. They were playing in the XFL, and there were some big standout names. In fact, today, one of the guys that has been quote-unquote confirmed is Brandon Silvers. He was a quarterback for the Memphis Express in the Alliance and also for the Seattle Dragons there in the XFL. He played his college ball at Troy University here in Dothan, Alabama. He was the quarterback of the team that beat LSU a few years back, if anybody remembers that. So there's pros to what the USFL has versus what the AAF had, and I really had a lot of belief in the Alliance that it would be a league able to stand up. Unfortunately, I believe some politics and some underhanded money tactics are what ended up biting the Alliance in the rear end. And like I said, COVID-19 kind of killed the XFL's momentum. But the Spring League, it's shown an ability to stay and stand through when everything else around it has kind of crumbled. Now that it's got a new name and some prettier window dressing about it, it's got an opportunity to grow more and be something that players may be interested in going and doing that versus going from high school directly, you know, going from high school to college. They have an option that, okay, instead I have to go play 3 years in college before I can go to the NFL, they can go 1 year through college. Then they can go hone their pro skills in the USFL and go on to the NFL from there. So there's a lot of opportunities for younger players to increase their brand and make some money while they beat their bodies. You don't get long to play this game, unfortunately, and Father Time tells us all when it's time to quit, some of us sooner than others. But for the guys that have the talent, have the will and the heart for it, this is something that they can sink their teeth into if that's what they're wanting to do.
As Bart says, Father Time is undefeated. Question from Aaron Bernstein from Sports Talk 101. He asks, do we see additional stadiums get built for teams?
I believe that's a possibility within 5 years of this inaugural season. I wouldn't look for anything sooner than that. There may be some of these cities that the teams are going to be playing in when they move out and branch out to their home states and home cities that are beneficial of the new stadium, like the Birmingham Stallions are with Protective. Some renovations to older existing stadiums in these other cities may be incentivized, knowing that a successful spring league has a team there. Money coming in should help, like I say, incentivize retrofitting and renovating these older stadiums. As far as new stadiums being built, I would look for that probably after the five-year mark if the league's able to last that long.
Also, Aaron asked, do you think there will be additional teams created after the first season?
After the first season, no. They're looking at a three-year plan from everything that I've seen. For the first 3 years, it'll be these original eight, these first eight teams. The original USFL obviously had more than eight. However, for the first, I believe, two or three years, it's just going to be these eight teams. They'll base off of how they do and go from there.
A few teams that I recognize from the old 1980s USFL, New Jersey Generals. That's like the only one that I recognize from the 80s, right?
Yeah, they're one of the original teams from the USFL. The Birmingham Stallions also are an original team. The Birmingham Stallions were actually a championship-winning team in what was the AFL before they went from the AFL. It wasn't the AFL. I believe it was the I can't remember. It was Birmingham Vulcans became the Birmingham Stallions, and the Birmingham Stallions became Birmingham Vulcans between the USFL and another league that was going on at the time. And I get confused on that, but the Pittsburgh Maulers are an original team. All these teams are teams that were part of the original USFL.
Bringing back the old.
Right.
Couple coaches, Jeff Fisher, as you recognize, used to be a coach for the Tennessee back in the NFL. Kevin Sumlin, Todd Haley, Coach Andrus, Coach Skip Holtz, Coach Kirby Wilson. We won't see Steve Spurrier this time.
No, I believe Spurrier's hung up his hat on the coaching deal, which is odd considering with the AAF he won a championship and the one and only season that they did play. I believe after everything was said and done, it was sort of a unanimous decision that the Orlando Apollos being undefeated and really kind of running roughshod over the league, everybody agreed that they were the champions. So Spurrier still has the chops to coach. I believe he's just proved to himself and anybody else, what he set out to do. Exactly. There are some more recognizable names there, like you said, Todd Haley, Larry Fedora for New Orleans, Skip Holtz here in Birmingham, which was really a shocker to me. Jeff Fisher, if you remember him from the Houston Oilers turned Tennessee Titans, his last gig was with the Los Angeles Rams. Well, St. Louis turned Los Angeles Rams. So there's star power within the coaching ranks, not as much in the player ranks as what many had thought there would be.
Sounds great. So the next thing is the Open Combine. Please explain to that, because we were talking about this before the show. Is it a very typical, like a combine just like the NFL, but what is similarities of this USFL combine?
Well, I haven't seen a lot of details on what the outlines will be for it, but I believe just from what I've read, yeah, it's an open tryout. It'll be basic combine style drills to get an idea of players' basic metrics, the 40-yard dash, shuttle drills, for quarterbacks, they'll have their, you know, their drills and all that they do. But yeah, it's going to be a combine style open tryout to see, you know, where the players are that maybe didn't have their contract signed or in by the time the first draft came through or whatever had happened. Like in the case of Derek Jones, some issues with the CFL, Canadian Football League, there, kind of holding him up after the draft. So whatever the issues may be there, they're going to give some guys that really have a lot of talent one more shot to get in.
Bart, as of right now, which team has the best shot to win it all in the USFL?
I honestly believe Tampa Bay, top to bottom, is the most talented roster. Their coaching staff looks to be the most well-equipped. If you're going to put your money anywhere, I would lean towards Tampa Bay, possibly Houston. Houston's a definite 1A to Tampa Bay. So look for Tampa Bay to be the crown champion. Houston may knock them off. Defense wins championships, and Houston definitely has a defense. Birmingham's another team, though, and this isn't just me being a homer. Birmingham has a stacked wide receiver room. I'm sad to say I'm not terribly familiar with Alex Mago, the quarterback Birmingham selected, but everything I've read and seen of him so far, he looks plenty capable of doing the job, and the wide receiver room, like I said, is stacked. So that would be my top three picks, but if I'm going with anybody, I would have to say Tampa Bay is the team to put your money on.
Tampa Bay continues their championship streak after the Buccaneers and the Lightning, so we'll see what happens. And I think the Rays made it to the World Series. Correct me if I'm wrong. But anyways, April 16th, USFL 22. You can check out Bart's article on thesportscast.net. It's called Breakdown, who came out a winner in the inaugural 2022 USFL draft. Bart, what is the best way to reach you online?
You can catch me on Twitter at BartStevenson1. You can find me on Facebook, obviously, Bart Stevenson. That's about as social on social media as I get. But like I said, you can catch me there on Twitter. You can catch all my articles here on thesportscast.net and look for many more to come.
Exactly. A lot more coming on with the USFL, and Bart will be with there with us, flowing us along. And this new league, which everyone's excited about. I am pretty pumped. I know the NFL combines this week, but to see some potential players rising and have a second chance, you can call it, to make it to the top league, the NFL, which is tough. And the Alliance, they had a lot of players coming from that league to the NFL. So we'll see what happens in the next upcoming months in football. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or on our Twitter, thesportscast1. And, of course, you could please subscribe, like, and all that jazz. Bart, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Hey, man, I appreciate you inviting me on. I look forward to coming back soon, and I look forward to pushing out some more articles for the followers to catch up on and learn where their alliances may fall.
Absolutely. And this was your update.